There's a lot more that I can say. He has a really, really gorgeous wife, Tammy. He's got 5 children, which, you know, if you want to be a dread champion of the Lord, just, you know, start pumping them out at that level. And so, which I'm going to do, man. If I'm doing 3 at a time, I'll overtake you pretty quick, buddy. So anyway, oh, baby. Okay, come on. As long as I've got a nanny. Any revivalist nanny is in the room. Here we go. So, Valerie. Okay. So anyway, on that note, I want you to really stir up your faith to receive what this man has to deliver to us tonight, because I do believe he's carrying a weighty word for the season, not just for the nation of Canada, but for this season in the body of Christ. So without any further ado, here's Barry Miracle.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, faith team, don't stop when you're preaching good. What an honor and a privilege to be here in this renewal, revival, takeover, kingdom. I say thank you. I say thank you. I say thank you to the leadership. This assembly of believers has done so much for our nation, so much for this world, and we are just honored in any capacity to come along, Pastor Steve and Sandra. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're continuing to do. And I saw a vision while we were in worship. And it goes along with what Fatine was saying about hilarity of giving. And we prayed into this big time last night in our corporate prayer service last night back in Desert Stream in the great city of Belleville. Hallelujah. You got any Bellevillians out there? Anybody from Belleville out there? Come on. I just want to give honor to one of my spiritual fathers, Pastor Kevin Dowling, and his wife, Sherry. You just welcome them. I got part of my team here. Come on. Woo! Yeah, yeah. But I saw a vision. And I saw this chair that was, it wasn't very beautiful. And matter of fact, one of the arms were broken off of it. And I saw, it was right beside it looked like stairs, but it wasn't really stairs, but it looked really like stairs. Yeah. I'm just telling you what I saw. And then I saw a window. And I really believe what you're doing this chair was a seat of authority. And by reaching out to the poor, when you give to the poor, you're lending to God. And I just want to tell you that there is a seat of authority that you are, I don't know what you're doing, like what Fatine said, I don't know what you're doing this year that is significant about your giving to the poor and your giving to the needy, but it is going to give you a seat of authority. That spirit of humility that is in that seat of authority as you give, that stairway that did not look like a stairway, but only will be revealed to those that are seated in this seat. It will be a stairway for elevation. I just want to let you know, by your giving to the poor, there's elevation coming in this season. You would not have seen it had you not heard from the Lord and began to give like you are about to give. Amen? Every major move of the Spirit of the Living God, Bill Johnson said, was preceded by hilarity of giving, by hilarious giving. So tap into that, pull on. We're tapping in, we're pulling on that in our church, and we are seeing things that are phenomenal, and wait till you see what's just about to show up for Desert Stream. Woo! Woo! That's the church where I pastor at, by the way. Hallelujah. I'm excited. Yeah, I'm excited all about the epicenter, Belleville. Hallelujah. But weren't those miracles outstanding? Woo! Woo! I just want to give a couple more shout-outs. I do love and appreciate my little sister that I do tease. For years, I think I was the only one that really ribbed her. Maybe there's a few others, I don't know, but we've gotten into some scraps, and it's been good. Yeah. But I just want to honor her. She is truly a nation changer. Come on, can you just give her a hand for tonight? Right. Hallelujah. And I do honor you, sis, and I'm excited for your future and everything that you're about to enter into. The best is yet to come. Best is yet to come. And you've seen nothing yet. Nothing yet. Hallelujah. And then I just want to, like, Faitine mentioned about my wife, Tammy, being here. 19 years as of on the 30th of November. I'm just starting. Yeah, hallelujah. We signed up for another 19. Yeah. Yeah, we renewed the contract. Yeah, so bless you, baby. I got my 5 children with me. And Sarah, where's Sarah go? Where's Sarah? Oh, Sarah, come here, baby. I have Sarah here. She's my oldest daughter. And then I have Victoria right behind her there. Brandon, who is on the Josiah team. Abigail Grace, I call her Gacer. And Caleb. Yeah. But before we go any further, we've been given a lot of accolations to a lot of people, which is important. Could you just stand up for about 45 seconds? And let's just begin to just, with all of our heart, our mind, and our spirits, just give a thank offering to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Come on, push it a little further. Push it a little. Yes, you are so welcome here. You are so welcome here. Woo! Woo!
Aha. Declare this after me. Say, Father God, in Jesus' name,
I declare
the Holy Spirit
Lord
over my life. Somebody's ready. Father God, in Jesus' name,
I declare
Holy Spirit
Lord
over this preacher. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father God, you said where the Holy Spirit is made and declared, Lord, that there would be liberty. Father God, we sang about liberty tonight because of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for signs and wonders and miracles. We thank you for healings. We thank you for impartation of revelation. We thank you for revealings, Lord God, that have been held up till this moment, Lord God, in time. We thank you for a now moment, and we thank you for the now wine, because Holy Spirit has been made and declared, Lord, here tonight. We thank you for wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, might, and the fear of the Lord being upon us in Jesus' mighty name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We are in a critical time. We're in an awesome time. This is the great and terrible day of the Lord. The great and terrible day of the Lord. I got good news and I got bad news for you. The good news is, or which one do you want first, the good news or the bad news?
Bad news?
Bad news? Okay, I'm going to give you the good news. No, for Mrs. Long, we'll give her a choice. The bad news is the glory is coming. The glory. And the good news is the glory is coming. He's coming. The glory at the level of which God is coming with is Hamashiach is just, it's bringing, unintentionally, because he poured out his wrath against sin and against corruption, against the workings of the evil one before time began. It was already poured out. So when he shows up, I mean, he doesn't come sometimes because of mercy. But I tell you, there's enough people, there's a remnant, there's this critical mass that has been saying, come Lord, come, come Lord, come. There's this critical mass of people that are crying out, and the Lord is, he must come. And he's coming with weightiness. He's coming with purity. And that's the problem. I saw a vision around the time that Bob Jones was speaking in Oshawa and saying that the Canadian church is going through a shaking that we've never seen before, never felt before, in preparation for what he's doing. And about that time, I believe, I saw this dark mass coming across our nation. And I saw it, and it was a mass because it didn't have a form, but it had a form. And it began to wrap around religious institutions, and as it went by, it began to pull them down. And he wrap around and pull it down. And it was going across the nation, and the Lord began to tell me that the religious spirit is being brought down into season. That the tares of unrighteousness that have been sown in amongst the believers is coming out. Because it's my season, says the Lord. It's my season. And it's time for the sons to come forth and shine like the sun. It's our season. So I saw this, and there's... it's a great and terrible day of the Lord. And the Lord began to share. He says, according to how deep the umbilical cord that is attached to that religious spirit that is being pulled down, how deep and how entangled you are with that religious spirit will depend on whether or not you make it into the next move. Because when those religious systems were being pulled down, when I saw those steeples, which I innately knew was representing the religious spirit, the religious system in the man's system, when that was being ripped down, the umbilical cords were coming out. And it's only the moves of the spirit, the water, and the repentance, and the grace, and the forgiveness that has tenderized our hearts. That isn't, the rending is not more than we can even handle. So I just thank you for the renewal and the refreshing that has come out of this house that has tenderized our hearts. Amen. The whole world is waiting. Romans 8:19. The whole world is waiting. The whole world is waiting for you. For earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God.
The whole world is waiting for the sons of God to show up and show off and begin to shine like the noonday sun. And this is who you are as Dread Champions. You are the sons of God that the world has been waiting for.
This is not the technon of God. This is not the sons that are merely born again. These are not the sons that are sitting home and they go to church, you know, once in a while because they're born again. And the whole world's not waiting for the technon, which is a Greek word that is used in a lot of salvation scriptures. It's not that word that is being used here. It's the huios. The whole world is waiting for the huios of God, the sons and daughters that look just like their daddy. The whole world's waiting for sons and daughters that look just like their daddy. 1 John 4:17, I learned this from Smith Wigglesworth. As he is, so am I. So are you in this world. As he is, so am I in this world. 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so am I. If he is operating, if he operated in resurrection life, so do I. Amen. Say this after me. As he is.
As he is.
As he is.
As he is.
So.
So.
Am.
Am.
I. You may be seated. I just want my daughter, Sarah, Princess of the Nations. She's only 13. She's only 13. Okay. I'm fending off anybody who's ever interested. About 35, maybe 38, baby Kim. Love you. That's right. But can you share what you saw? When was that? That was last night?
No, it was a
couple nights ago.
I had a dream / vision. I was standing, well, my dad was preaching, and there was all these mothers standing at the altar here, and they were giving birth to children. Hey. Hey, da da ba hey. We're giving birth to something. But it'll only birth if we're ready. Church, are you ready for the birthing? If they're ready. We're only going to birth these children if we're ready. We have mothers and fathers of this nation that are birthing things. And if we're not ready, where are they going to go? So, church, are you ready? This is going to be hard. But because we have a daddy, we can do all things.
Come on.
Hey! Yeah. Wow. Wow.
I'm just going to get Sarah to pray into. I heard somebody say tonight that the power of prayer is far more powerful, much more mightier than the religious spirit, than the political spirit. So we're just going to pray into that for a minute. We're going to pray like that the birthing is going to come forth. There will be a birthing. Not only a birthing of a vision, there's going to be a birthing of vision. There's going to be a birthing of assignments. There's going to be birthings of callings and elections and purposes. There's going to be all kinds of birthings here. Because I believe the word of the Lord that there are things that are being birthed not only tonight, but this week. So we're just going to pray into that, but we're also going to pray into the fact of the matter that we're going to send some prayers right to Ottawa Hill. We're going to Parliament Hill tonight in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, that those babies are going to be birthed. Those 60, 70,000 babies a year are going to be birthed. Come on! Are you guys with me?
Who, Baba, he? Ooh, that I be here. Heavenly Daddy, we come before you tonight.
Want to engage your faith.
Who we come before you and we say we're ready to birth.
Wow.
The children of our nation that are rising forth. This next generation of leaders. Oh. And we say we're ready. Ooh.
Ha. Mama, 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 maha.
Sure, we call them forth. Name by name, hey! I'm... So we thank you for what you're doing. Now, Shadabahiki, Hundarabahura dada Haitian dada Bahiki, Hundara Rudabahundara Hush dada Bahi, Humada Bahuka dada Bahi, Hindara Hish dada Bahiki. They're coming. It's a rushing wind. Hey!
Amen. Can I have a couple catchers? And I'd like Steve and JoJo just to come up quickly. Actually, yeah, come right up here. You stay up here, baby. You stay up here. Yeah. You just hold hands. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Your season, your unveiling season, the unveiling season. Hey, Shama Mama Mama Hai, Hey Mama 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 Hai, Shekoya Mama Hai, Re Mama Roma Mama Mama, Shekoye Andrea Rebe, be birthed. Put your hand on her belly, baby. Father God, in Jesus' name. Ha ha. Romo konda namaha. Shay! Mama, mama, maha, 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 shabehe. Shukura, mama, mama, mama. This is your season. This is your unveiling point. This is the unveiling point. This is the unveiling point. You are being revealed. You are being unveiled before this world, this very moment. This is a new season for you, and you are going to come forth, and you're going to shine like the noonday sun. This is your season. Arise, son and daughter, and begin to take your place amongst the great and the called out one. You are called apart. You are the ecclesia. You are the ones that are going to lead this next charge. So we birth that tonight. We birth that tonight in Jesus' name. When people are asking me, so where are you going? Where are you going this weekend? I said, I'm going to go up to the, I'm going to partake in the Dread Champions conference. I said, oh, who's going to be there? I said, oh, Fateen's going to be there. Oh, that's cool. I said, I'm going to be speaking a couple times, or at least I knew of once. And then I said, and then there's Steve and JoJo Smith that are going to be there. He said, oh, who's that? I said, these two. These, even JoJo by herself can take a nation. Steve and JoJo together. Oh, my word. Get ready, world, because it's going to be turned upside down. Can you give God a hand clap of praise tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ha ha ha. I preached through revival for 2 years. Matter of fact, Tammy was drunk back in 94, 93. When was Brandon born? 95? Back in 94, I guess. Tammy was drunk in the spirit for 9 months straight. So I preached. I was preaching in Kingston at Living Word Ministry Center. We were in revival for 2 years back in those days. I love preaching through groans and moans and laughter and people falling out of their chairs. Yes, Daddy, again. So they cut the body up in 5 pieces. You can't keep a good man down, that's for sure. That's for sure. That's a whole new realm of I'm coming apart in my ministry. Or when a ministry's been put back together. Work with me, somebody work with me. Thank you, Adam, I appreciate that. Before I get in, I just want to touch on a couple things before I get to my text tonight. Hundred years ago in 1906, there was this little place called Azusa Street. Psh. 312 Azusa Street, Los Angeles. There was no such thing as an integrated church. There was a white church and there was a black church. There was a white affluent church, and then there was other ethnicities and black churches. William Seymour was the first one to integrate the whole church together in one body. The first one, 100 years ago plus. Not only was he the first man to ever do that,
He birthed something with Charles Parnham and a few other men of God and women of God that would not say, they would not give in, they would receive no no's from the enemy, and they would not let go of God until he birthed Pentecost.
William Seymour, in 1910, say 1910. And Charles Parnham in 1910, say 1910. Thank you. Both prophesied on the same day in a church service. One was on the East Coast and one was on the West Coast. Can you hear me? That there is going to be a revival that's going to hit this planet in 100 years.
That's how my Geyser counts. As far as I know, it's 100 years. As far as I know, 2010, that makes this 100 years. One was on one coast. Seymour was on the West Coast. Charles Parham was on the East Coast. They prophesied the same thing. This is historically. This is proven. This is fact. Same. And they believe that is within the same hour that they prophesied. Not another Pentecost. Not like the former rain that happened 2,000 plus years ago. Not like what happened 100 years ago. But they prophesied at the same time that there's a far greater move of the Spirit that is going to hit this planet that we've never seen before. Somebody get a little happy out there. I mean, when we're talking about bodies parts coming together and heads popping back on, that's some serious stuff. Something's showing up somewhere. That's the glory of God that is on the increase. Who wants it in Canada? I don't know if they heard you, Dad. Who wants that kind of miraculous signs and wonders in Canada? Hey, 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 hey! The Bible calls the raising of the dead and casting out devils and healing the sick and cleansing the lepers as the elementary teachings. Give me some of them elementary teachings and let's build on that. Give me some of that. Come on, say, give me some of that. Give me some of that. A 100 years ago, they prophesied it. I'm just, you know, working with my iPad right now. Just thank you, Jesus. iPad, yeah, I said iPad, yeah. I love you too. History would tell that there would be more hangings of black people in 1906 than any other part of the American history. When the Lord shows up, the enemy gets angry. He can get angry. I don't care. Because God's going to have his revival. And we're going to stand and all things stand. And we're going to see the deliverance of the Lord in the land of the living. We're going to look up high and we're going to see his glory fill the temple. We are not going to be afraid of his growl.
We're not going to go back into the box that he predetermined for us to live within. And soon as you begin to press the outer limits of what the enemy predestined for you to operate within, he begins to send his lions and different other things to growl at you so that you'll get back to where you're supposed to be. And I say, no more! The word demon comes from the word daemon. The root word is deo, which means destiny distributor. The enemy has a destiny for you. But more importantly, God has a powerful purpose for you. And you do not have to listen to the lies of the enemy anymore. Come on, can you hear me? You don't have to listen to what he is saying any longer. You are no longer underneath the totalitarian dictatorship of an evil king. You've been translated and transferred into the kingdom of the Son of the living God. You are no longer in that camp. You are in the kingdom of God, and you're under his rulership, under his domain. You don't have to listen to what the enemy is saying. I want you to repeat this after me. Say, I am
a good sheep.
I hear
the voice
of the good shepherd. And no other
voice
or noise
do
I have to adhere to. That's the word. If you don't listen to him, he has no place in your life. It's when you begin to give ear to him that he has an inroad through fear. But we've not been given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. So we are pressing through the boundaries tonight. We are breaking through. Baal Perazim is here. Come. Shauna, Baal Perazim is here. Happy birthday. It's more than just your birthday, Shauna. It's more than just a natural birthday, but there's something being birthed tonight in you. Baal Perazim is birthing and breaking the breach of the containment that has been against you. Faith has increased in this place. Faith is increasing in this place. Faith is increasing in this place. We have this national mission statement called Revelation 22:2. We are a nation of healers about to arise like never before. Are you tired of shouting yet? Our mission statement, she says, give the interpretation later. Our mission statement for this nation is that we are leaves that are about to be put on some sores and on some diseases. We were born to be the healing of the nations. We were born. This is why we were born. Oh, my word. Look at those leaves. You know, I'm a pretty sharp guy. That's why they're here. It's our mission statement. We are going to rise up out of this nation and see the greatest move we've ever seen. Those things are precursors. Those things that you're seeing are going to happen in our nation in Jesus' name. Those body parts coming back together. Come on. Here's a common occurrence in Azusa Street. In the meetings there, people would come in wheelchairs. They would come out of wheelchairs. There'd be cancerous growths that would fall off faces instantly. Body parts and limbs would grow back within 35 to 40 seconds. Somebody would have an arm missing, and they would, and William Seymour would just grab his arm and just go like this, and it would just appear. And then minutes later, the fingernails would form. If that happened then, not only why not now, far greater now. Bob Jones said that we really only retained 5%. I think he even said less than that, but I'm going to say 5% because I'm not sure. I don't want to be evangelistic here. We only retained 5% of what was poured out on the day on the Pentecostal revival that happened back in Topeka, Kansas in 1901 and in Azusa Street in 1906. Only 5%. You know what? That's all in the past. The move of the Spirit that is coming that is far greater is about to show up and show off. And we're going to have it. We're going to have our revival. I just want to do one other thing quickly before I'll try to be nice and not keep you here all night. But we were on a journey of freedom, and I just honor Chief Kenny Blacksmith for getting the vision, and then we jumped on board with it. And we went across the nation. I had a privilege of going into Hong Kong. And Pastor Steve, I was able to speak between 5,000 and 6,000 Chinese. 2,500 to 3,000 were from mainland China. I spoke to them face to face. And I also got our cards into the hands of intercessory networks that went all through China. And you know what I did? I harnessed prayers for Canada. I told them of what we were doing. I told them about the healing revival that as we are released and as God reveals our purpose and our election, and as we come forth as the healers that we're called to do, we're going to be coming back to your nation. So, but you need to pay now so that we can come later. So we have literally, without trying to exaggerate, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, and even greater than that, because they went back to mainland China and went through a lot of the intercessory networks, and they're praying for us right now. I just want to back up. We started the journey last January. But before that, we went on another journey. It was Willie Jock, an elder Mohawk from Akwesasne. I'm from Tinanega Mohawk Territory. Fatine alluded to that a couple of times tonight. I grew up there for 18 years. But he's from another Mohawk territory in Akwesasne. And he had a vision of going to the different ports and the different gates where alcoholism came into our nation. And we didn't know any better back then when it came in to stand up against it, because these people were supposed to be bringing the black book that was prophesied so many years previously. So we had to trust them because they're bringing the black book. They're going to bring redemption to our people. So when we got, you know, edumacated with the things of the Spirit, it was laid on Willie Jock's heart that we needed to go around to these different portals and close the spirit to addiction from coming into our nation. So we went to the mouth of the St. Lawrence, and we did prophetic acts and different things like that. But one time we went underneath, and I shared this at the just slightly at the Awakening Conference that Fatine put on here in the summertime. We had the privilege of going underneath Montreal to the old city that was formed 500 years ago, that they began the foundations of that city 500 years ago. And I walk by as they're showing us through the underground area of and the very foundation of the first city in our nation. I walk by the very first sewage system that was established. And everybody walked on by, and I just went, huh? The first dung gate. Lord, there's something on this. So I got my anointing oil out, and I began to anoint the first dung gate that was in our nation. And I began to prophesy. I began with every authority invested in me. I began to speak to the crap and the crud and the junk that was in our nation to be washed out by the living waters of a risen King. God began to share with me. He says, the very first revival that's going to hit our nation is the backsliders are coming back home. The backsliders, the prodigals, sons and daughters are coming back home in this season. And that's the first fruits of the healing revival that we're about to see. And what God said is that we need to begin to pull on the deliverance anointing in this season. It's been made available. It's been laid upon our nation. Now we must begin to lay hold of that which was laid hold of us. He's put it out there. He's offered it. Now we must possess it. We must be like Rodney Howard Brown. This is, I'm not going to stop crying out. I'm not going to stop crying out to you. And I'm not going to stop crying out to you till you bless me, Lord, with what I'm supposed to be, with my anointing. And I'm not going to stop crying out. Faith team's not going to stop crying out. My wife's not going to stop crying out. Pastor Kevin is not going to stop crying out. Come on, we're not going to stop crying out until he blesses us, until we capture that deliverance anointing. Because he just didn't call us to raise the dead, heal the sick, and cleanse the disease, but he called us to cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give. Come on, say, cast out devils.
Cast out devils.
Say,
I
as a Canadian,
am called,
chosen,
appointed and anointed,
to cast out devils. You know why? Because the prodigals, it's very practical. Because the prodigals are coming home with their baggage and beautiful diamonds and beautiful treasures in the midst of all their junk. Are you willing to buy the whole field for the treasure? That's what my daughter was talking about tonight. Are we going to just reject them? Are we just going to shove them aside? You know, they're coming with trouble. They're coming with problems, addictions. But there's going to be an anointing to take care of. They don't have time, and we don't have time of 12 years of counseling, and they get codependent on us. 30, 45 seconds in the presence of an almighty Savior and Deliverer, and they are ready. Amen. We had to let that one birth right through. Jesus shows up at the disciples, as Bill Johnson says, the ministry trip from hell. That was funny. Never mind, I'm just kidding. They come off the sea. He has to save them again. Jesus is disgusted with their little faith, and which is short term of faith, and they're just like, a storm comes, and all of a sudden they're just like, and not like I'd be any better. So we understand. So they land on the region of the Gadarene demoniac. And out of this, out of nowhere, this crazy, naked, wild man throws himself down at the feet of Jesus and calls him Lord. What's that say to me? It says a couple things to me. Whew. Historians say he had maybe 2,000 demons on board. My God is greater. Don't force me to sing. All 2,000 demons could not stop him from throwing himself down at the feet of Jesus and calling him Lord. And in a word, he casts all 2,000 demons into 2,000 pigs. Pigs had enough sense to go drown themselves. He said, Master, I want to go with you. I want to go with you. You've made me. One scene, he is cutting himself. If you're not familiar with the story, the Gadarene demoniac, 2,000 demons, they tried to bind him, they couldn't bind him. They tried to clothe him, they couldn't clothe him. He'd rip it off. He would cut himself in the tombs, around the tomb. He lived in the grave. One moment, he's crazy like that. The next moment, he's clothed. The Bible says, clothed and in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Hey, he's Jewish. He's a very good tailor. Pastor Steve said, where'd the clothes come from? Supernatural. Clothing in his right mind. He said, Master, can I come with you? Jesus said, no. He wasn't offended. Jesus said, go tell them what God has done for you. He says, okay. They then, fear struck the whole city. They weren't afraid when he was cutting himself and running around naked. But the whole city, when he got clothed in his right mind, saying, the whole city was gripped with fear. Jesus said, no. He says, go tell. And then they were so upset because he ruined their economics. They began to drive him out. The spirit of mammon. Let's not even go there. Another time. They drove Jesus out of the region because the spirit of mammon was upset because he ruined the economics or sent him into a mild recession. Really? When Jesus came back, though, he told everybody. And he brought everybody in that whole region out to see Jesus. And they had a huge revival. Who knows that prodigal? Come here just quickly. Who knows that prodigal son or daughter that's coming into your midst? Who they're going to be and how they're going to affect your nation. I shared this, and I just want to just in about a minute just share what happened and what you saw when I shared this in the summertime.
There's a guy in my local community, and what you said tonight about birthing Barry, we've been praying this guy in for years, not specifically, but we've been just saying, Lord, bring him home, bring the sons and daughters, the prodigals home. And when Barry spoke that this summer, the backsliders are coming in. This Sunday, I ran into this guy in my town who just got saved about 7 months ago, was in jail for sexual assault, and had a radical encounter with Jesus in a treatment center. Got saved, and he's way beyond, like, soul ties broken off, all kinds of stuff done in him already. And when I saw him walking up the street, I heard about it, but I wasn't sure. You know how you hear somebody's been saved, but you're like, oh, did it stick? You know what I mean? And when I saw him coming, he looked at me, and I looked at him, and he was smiling. And all I could see is the tangible glory of God on him. And he was like the worst of the worst in our community. Been in jail since he was little, like juvie, you name it. And, you know, even the youth club worker who worked with him when he was a kid, when he announced it at CBS 2 weeks ago, because that's when I heard, he said that these kids were from hell. That's how he said it. And I just let a shout. So when I saw him, I was just so overcome, and I ended up going off with him. And I've been with him for days because the revival on him, the breath of God in him, has revived me. And I wasn't even really quiet or dead myself, but he's alive, and he's revived me. And it's just like a live revival, like being around him.
Amen? No, come on. That is what is about to happen in your churches.
Amen. The whole world's waiting for you. The whole world's waiting for us. The sons of God to come forth. I just say, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. Though there be darkness upon the earth, and deep darkness upon the people, my glory will rise upon you and be seen on you. That's what's happening to him. That's what's happening to the prodigals. It doesn't matter how dark. The darker it gets, the better it gets. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God is raising up a standard all around you. Where there is much sin, there's much more enabling power. Where there's much sin, there's much more grace. And my God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things and all time, having all that you need, you're going to abound to this very good work. And the dread champions are coming forth. My text tonight is all over the place. I'm not much of a linear learner or teacher, but we'll be in the Spirit. I guarantee you that in Jesus' name, by His grace and His mercy. Deuteronomy chapter 33. I'm going to title this message, The 12th Son at the 12th Hour. I want to talk about the Benjamin nation. I want to talk about the Benjamites. The Benjamin nation was birthed out of a gentleman by the name of Benjamin. I figured that out myself. Yep. He was the 12th son of Israel. He was the youngest son of Rachel. He was the one that, when Joseph, who went through an amazing season of his life, where he went from a point of being put in a pit, then he was elevated out of the pit, and then he was put in a penitentiary, and he was elevated out of the penitentiary. Then finally he came to, well, it was actually before that, he was in Potiphar's house. And then he was elevated, and then he was in the penitentiary, and he was elevated, and then finally he was elevated to the palace for the preservation of a prophetic people. But when he got there, and he called for his brothers to come in, he called Benjamin to come in and come before him. And they began to give them supplies, but they gave Benjamin, I believe it was five times what he gave to his other brothers. I believe I'm going to give you a visual of what a true dread champion is going to look like in this season. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 1. And 12. Now this is the blessing with which Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death and said,
O Benjamin, the beloved of the Lord, shall dwell in safety by him who shelters him all day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. Moses stated that Benjamin shall dwell between the shoulders of his beloved in Joshua chapter 18, verse 11, that Benjamin's territory would be between the sons of Judah and the sons of Joseph. The tribe of Benjamin would later on join itself to the nation of Judah. Maybe this might be a little bit of speculation, but what is between the shoulders of the body is nothing more than the neck. That the head of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be placed upon. The 12th son at the 12th hour. Prophetically, we have moved from the season of Joseph, who went from the pit to the pad to the pen to the palace for the purpose of the provision of the prophetic people. Where the one man would save an entire nation, or the one man would save a complete community. We're moving from the 11th son at the 11th hour, and we're moving into the 12th son at the 12th hour. Genesis chapter 35, verse 16. I'm just going to go through this. You can look this up later for the sake of time. Then they journeyed from Bethel. This is Genesis chapter 35, verses 16 through 20. Then they journeyed from Bethel, and when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath, Rachel labored in childbirth, and she had hard labor. Now it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said to her, "Do not fear, you will have this son also." And so it was, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called out, and his name shall be called Benoni. But the father called him Benjamin. Rachel wanted him named Benoni, but Israel knew the importance of a name, because he was once called Jacob. He would not be called Benoni. I refuse to call my son the son of my suffering. But I shall call him the son of my right arm. Anywhere in the Bible where you see the demonstration or the depiction of the right arm of God is directly related to power. Benjamin Netanyahu. He is the right man at the right hour for Israel. He's the man that is in a position to flex the right arm of the authority of God. It's a prophetic act. It's a prophetic declaration about what is about to happen in our world. God is about to flex the right arm of his authority. And you're going to see signs and wonders. Seymour, Parnham, what they prophesied shall come to pass. We have 1 month to lay hold of it. God help us, give us the grace to lay hold of that which you've laid hold of us. The prophecy over Benjamin. Genesis chapter 49, verse 1. And Jacob called his son and said, "Gather together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days." Can you say last days?
Last days.
Can you say last days?
Verse 27 of Genesis chapter 49. He called these different, his sons before. And he prophesied over each one of them. And when he got to Benjamin, he said, "Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil." I know a lot of people get visions about wolves, and it's not good. This one is good. This is what a dread champion does.
Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the evil one, and you have been manifested to enforce that destruction.
How do you do that? You heal the sick, you raise the dead, you cleanse the diseased, and you cast out devils. And you go into communities and you redeem them. You go in and you pay off mortgages. You go in. This is what dread champions do. They go in and they begin to tear down the principalities and powers of darkness by illuminating the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and letting the rivers of living water flood out and manifesting the presence, because my Bible says that the presence of God causes the mountains to melt like wax. You don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. All you need is faith in God. Why? Because that's what pulls on the presence. And when the presence comes, you are only a presence away from everything changing in your life. You are only one moment, one worship service, one meeting away, one encounter with your Savior, and everything shifts and changes because your mountains begin to melt like wax when He shows up. It's about 20 people that believe that. Start somewhere, Pastor. Starting somewhere. Amen. Yes, thank you. The tribe of Benjamin were known as valiant warriors. Actually, they're known as some of the greatest warriors in history. They could wield a sword with either hand. They're ambidextrous. The whole nation. The tribe of Benjamin became so skilled at war that there were 700 choice warriors that could sling a stone and not miss a hair. That's found in Judges chapter 20, verse 6. Benjamin had some good days and not so good days. You look at the great Benjamites in the Old Testament. You have Saul, who's the first king of Israel, was a Benjamite. Didn't turn out that great. But then you have Mordecai and Esther, who are sent to the kingdom for such a time as this. I will show you what will happen in the last days. The Mordecai's and the Esthers of the son of the right arm are being manifested. And you're going into strategic places and positions that God predestined you to be involved in. There's a sphere of influence, an atmosphere that you're about to shift because you show up and God is able to show off and release His glory, and everything shifts and changes. Because the Esthers and the Mordecai's showed up in the kingdom for such a time as this. In the New Testament, you have the Apostle Paul, who wrote almost two-thirds of the New Testament was a Benjamite. I will show you all what happened in the last days. Then you have Malchus, who is the spy that was followed Jesus around and was sent with Judas to go get Jesus. You know what I found out today? They had 600 armed men to go get Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was preaching in their synagogues and they left him alone because it wasn't his time for an appointed time. You don't have to worry if it's not your time. this season of life, we have such potential for greatness, and there's a potential to go very wrong. And we must dedicate our lives, because he has poured out power that the camp of the enemy is endeavoring to tap into, because there's not two different spiritual realms. There's one spiritual realm. There's one anointing. Powers of darkness are B&Eing on the kingdom of God. There's not the enemy has a, he has his almighty power and his own anointing where he's defeated, and he's not all that. Great big God, little bitty devil. The only authority he has is when you give it to him through fear. Because he, according to Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 through 15, he was stripped of all his authority. We don't have time to go there. But here it is. There was a time that a few men of the tribe of Benjamin that lived in Gibeah did something absolutely despicable in the sight of the Lord and in the eyes of the other 11 tribes. The act was so horrible that it was never happened in Israel since the time of Moses led them out of Egypt till then. This caused 400,000 men of Israel to come against the tribe of Benjamin, which was only 26,700. Israel had 400,000 men, and Benjamin had 26,700 men. The first day of battle, Israel lost 22,000 men. Benjamin, zero. The next day, Benjamin killed 18,000 men of Israel. Benjamin lost zero. They were in the wrong. Benjamin was in the wrong. And yet, because of this hand of the Lord and the gifts of God that were upon them, that is upon this nation, that is upon this people at this hour, it's like your money. Money is amoral. It's neither moral or immoral. It's whoever has it in their authority. It wasn't until the third day, can you say the third day?
Third day.
That Israel received a strategy from the Lord and they were able to defeat them. This would be Benjamin's undoing in the physical. What does this all mean? I spoke to a friend of mine. I've known for about 20 years. He produced a couple of albums out of here. His name's Dan Catrona. And I said, what do you think the sound is of the new and next revival? He said to me, I'll think about it and get back to you. And he got back to me and he said, there isn't one. And I didn't like that answer. And I don't even know if I agree with that answer, because I know there's sounds coming. But this is his point. I believe the sound is the revival in the marketplace. Dread champions have to take it beyond the four walls. Can you say, I am anointed. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Is upon me. Not just the preacher. Not just the evangelist. Not just the apostle and the prophet. But me. This is a believer's anointing.
These signs shall follow them that believe. Qualification for signs and wonders is, do you believe? Yes, I do. Signs and wonders.
Benjamin, generation is not age sensitive, but mission oriented. This is trigenerational. This is everybody on deck, sword in hand, unsheathed. We're not saber rattling, but we're pulling it, and we're going to strike and draw blood. The next move is not going to happen in the church, but the revival, the glory of God manifesting the signs, the wonders are going to be happening in the marketplace, in the bars, in the jails, in the courtrooms, in the salons, in the malls, in the stores. The Benjamins are going into every sphere of influence. The Benjamites, the 12th son at the 12th hour, the dread champions are going into every sphere of influence that we know. Every mountain shall be taken. That this Benjamin generation looks like wolves. They look like the world. We're not all religious now. We're going out. They're understanding that we need spirit-filled, born-again, fire-breathing, baptized in the Holy Ghost, on fire, police officers driving around our city, emitting the glory of God wherever they go. Come on! We need people in the court system. We need people in parliament. And my God, we need people behind the pulpit. Every sphere of influence, power of God is about to be manifested like never before. Waiters. I remember when I first started coming here, Pastor. The drummer that used to... what's his name?
Nuno.
Yeah, he's just like a beaming. We used to stay over at the, where you stay, baby, over at the Doubletree now, it's called. It's called the International Plaza back in the day. Skyline, but before that's called the International Plaza or something. So anyway, it doesn't matter. He was in there just beep, 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 beep. Glory to God, just, hey, how you doing? Yeah, good. Yeah. And he would just share all around, just... And he wasn't religious about it. He was a Benjamin in the midst of his sphere of influence. Because they look like the world. They look like a wolf. But they're actually camouflaged. And they're fluffy sheep on the inside. With the love of God, they just look like the world. But they're pets of Dad. They're his chosen ones. They're his anointed ones. At any given moment, tempest, the tempest of the rivers of living water, the Ruach HaKodesh is about ready to pour out upon anybody, anytime in their sphere of influence. When Daddy says, sick them, they're healed. Acts chapter 17, verses 26 and 28. And he made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. God has predetermined the atmosphere in which you would live. You need to know delegated authority. If you have responsibility and you have relationship, you have authority.
In your sphere of influence, if Lucifer shows up at your house in the middle of the night and trying to bring a spirit of infirmity, Lucifer himself must bow to your authority in your sphere of influence. On your job, where you have been placed there by God, every demonic force is subjected to your authority, and they will bow, because every knee, if they have a name, they will bow.
Every knee shall bow. And every name that is named shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's just not in the sweet by and by, but it's now. That's the kind of authority that you walk, that you should be and shall walk in. It's a believer's anointing. And the only thing hindering us is whether we believe it or not. Jesus could do very little, very few miracles in Jerusalem because of unbelief. But if we believe, all things are possible. As we choose and to be chosen and line up with the path that God has determined for us to walk upon is when we can expect God to move on and through our lives. As I finish up tonight, and if we're going to have an impartation, and so I'll need a few catchers. That means if Belleville's not busy, give everybody else opportunity and get smoked later. The Great Commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom. Not just of salvation, but of the kingdom. The active word, according to Bill Johnson, is not go, but rather preach. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, that you don't have to be poor no more. I'm anointed to preach. You're anointed to preach. Yeah. What's preach? Declaring the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What is preaching? Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Bringing a word. What is preach? It's giving your testimony in your sphere of influence. What is preach? It's when you share what God did for you last night. What is preach? It's when you share how God paid off your mortgage. What is preach? You're anointed to preach. You're anointed to preach. Say, I am anointed. Period. He further states, as we are going, we will begin to declare the wonderful works and the things of God. When we go into our job every day, when we go into our school, when we go into those places, when we go into those dark places that some of you are going to be called to be waiters and maybe even bars.
Come on!
Any of my team back there, you check with me first. We'll pray about it. Okay. Get the word of the Lord. Submit that one to your pastors. Okay, move along. But it's true. Every area, every sphere of influence, all the seven mountains are going to be invaded. We're not going out in a fizzle, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not concerned about what's happening in North Korea. If you guys want to come out tomorrow night, we're going to get into a little bit of that. That we're not concerned about the Kronos nor the Kairos. We want to be filled. Whew. At least that's where I think we're going. Our testimony is acts of kindness, praying with people, healing, prophetic words, and sharing the gospel is nothing more than an overflow of our personal intimate relationship with our Savior. We are called to go into the spheres of influence and dominate. Say dominate.
Dominate.
Dominate's not a bad word. It can be used bad, but dominate is a good word. When you begin to bring love and peace and joy and happiness and signs and wonders and miracles in the midst, and you begin to dominate with the kingdom of God, that's a good word. Amen. And being assembled with them, he told them, do not leave Jerusalem until you're endued with power. And like I said, I'm going to touch on this tomorrow night. But this was day 38. Say day 38.
Day 38.
The cross happened. Pentecost is about to happen. He was preaching around the world for 40 days. This was day 38 when he addressed them. And he shared with them, do not leave Jerusalem until you're endued with power. We don't have to be concerned about what the enemy is doing in Korea, what's happening in Israel. Do not give that a second thought if you haven't been filled with the love of the Father and a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit and the rivers of living water coming out of your belly and changing and shifting. This is what the Benjamites do. Stand with me. I don't know if we can put a CD on or if you want to go to the guitar. And I know it's late. Amen. Hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm down with that. That's a good one. Can you say this is my season? Come on. Come on. Come on. You say this is Canada season?
This is Canada season.
Whew. We need a fresh anointing. We need renewal. We need revival. We don't move from renewal to revival. I don't know who made that up, but it don't make sense. They haven't preached for very many years. I know that. Pastor Kevin, can we say this and that? Yeah. Let's have a this and that move. Let's have it all. Let's believe what the prophets have said of the old. That in 100 years, we're going to have such a move of the Spirit. That's going to make that pale. Let's believe that. You guys have seen Marty Blum's documentary on the river to the ends of the earth. I had the pleasure of, with Kenny Blacksmith, of opening that up the very first time it was shown when John and Carol Arnott were there and different people from the different seasons were there that ushered in moves of God in Canada. There was three major rivers that were there that night. But let's believe the prophets like Alistair Petrie that said that people have been talking about this, that what is coming to Canada is 100 and 1,000 times greater than any move of the Spirit that has ever hit this planet is coming to Canada. All we have to do is believe it. Martha, did I not tell you that if you would only believe, you would see my glory? Do you believe tonight that we can have a move of the Spirit in our nation? Whew. Can we believe when Christ comes back, will he find faith? Yes, he will! His eyes are going to and forth throughout the world looking for faith. I mentioned that our mission statement around Canada about the leaves are the healing of the nations. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. We have faith in our nation because we believe that word, that we will be that healer to the nations. Because faith comes by hearing, but hearing comes by the word of God. We're believing that. And I just throw faith at you like gasoline on a fire tonight. If your team wants to begin, but I want to crack at it. I would love for your team to come behind and pray for people, but I just want to slather my hands with some anointing oil, and I just want to slap it on some foreheads and leave it. Maybe Faitine, you can pray with me too, and maybe Stephen, huh? Okay, and then Steve and JoJo, I don't know if you're still around or they had to go or what. They're ministering tomorrow morning. There they are. And maybe you can just come with us, and we're just going to... Do we want them to go underneath the flags? Is that where we're going, Pastor? Okay. So just get ready. Get your faith on. But we want to do an impartation to you of this breaker anointing and birth the Benjamite, the 12th son of the 12th hour, and release that overcoming anointing in your life. Amen? Hallelujah.